We are a man down today. Rusty's making the life choice to further his education, and you know we're not going to hold it against him. He's got a big quiz, and then he gets to go on vacation. So we get it. Your two choices: take a quiz and then go on vacation, or spend time with me and Sergeant Salty. I think that's a pretty easy decision to make, AJ.
I guess. I mean, if he wanted to go back to school, he could have came to the School of Bets over here, man. Bet you. I could have taught him a thing or two and can make some money instantly sometimes.
I think he needs to go back to math school. That's my personal opinion.
Math school. Which, I mean, Ford might have that accelerated math degree that we just haven't shown him yet. It's out there.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, I completely get it. Why is my. I got some speakers going off over here, buddy. All I can hear is myself. It's going crazy. I don't know
Uh-oh.
where it's coming from either, which is kind of throwing me off.
I have a technical delivery difficulty from the jump.
Gotta love live broadcasting. All right. Anyways, we're gonna lead off the show. Lions obviously get the big W. By the way, a lot being made about their over celebrating, which, hey, when you've lost 15 in a row, any celebration is fine with me. I'm not gonna get too upset with you for having a
I
little fun with
guess. I
it.
guess.
I mean, look, they earned it, I think. I mean, they went out and they got the win. Which, of course, because of that, we immediately have to go into overanalyzing and overthinking things that should never be brought up at all. And that first question is, Jay, what does Jared Goff have to do? We put this poll out on our Twitter
Oh
to be the
God.
quarterback for the Lions past 2022. And in all fairness, because it's on the poll, there is an option that says there's nothing he can do. So I'm leaving that open for you.
Right, I was wondering if that is available to me because the way it's presented, it's almost like he has to be. So I'll answer it two ways, I guess. Number one, no. I want nothing to do that. But give me another bad year next year, a high draft pick. Grab some quarterback that wasn't available this year, because I don't think there's any good QBs coming out this year from college. But what does he have to do? I mean, going forward, I don't see how it could be a win equivalent because I don't know if there's three or four games in the rest of the season that if he somehow beats, I don't know. We play Chicago again. We play Denver coming up. I don't know. It can't be win. So it's got to be like what, a high QBR? I think the ship has already sailed on Jared Goff. Now, past 2022, what, win all the preseason games? I don't know. I feel like the bar is already starting so low that I don't know what he has to accomplish to have the job. I think it's so cemented that he's just a placeholder.
No, I get. I brought this up. For those that haven't picked it up by now, I work for a radio station, and we taped the Darren McCarty show. Right before this, and I asked them. I said, "Look, we're gonna be talking about this on the podcast. What do you guys think?" And I asked Sean Balegian and Darren McCarty, "What does he have to do to be the guy here?" And Sean gave the honest answer, and I think it's a fair answer: fire Brad Holmes, because Holmes isn't gonna want to keep him there. He knows what he's getting with him. But in doing so, I kind of want to try to play devil's advocate here. I want to see as much as I can if I could sell you on it, because we talked about it, Jay. What was it gonna take for Campbell to not be fired at the end of the year? Well, the one win, and he got the one win, so.
Yeah.
By our standards, I think we now have to, not that I'm saying it's like, okay, you won one, maybe you should win two, but I think now we have to have expectations that he's been in the situations, he's found to get one. Can he replicate? And we'll see what happens there. But I want to see if I can provide a situation for you and see if at the end of it, you tell me if you'd still be okay with Jared Goff here next year. So here's your situation. This year, like you said, there's no real QB prospects right now. There's not anyone that you can honestly say franchise. I am a big fan of Ryder out of Cincinnati. We'll see how he does in the bowl games or in the college football playoff against a big team like Alabama. But at the same time, he's not a top five pick that you're willing to bet the house on. That first overall pick this year is going to have to be a start from day one guy. Ryder's not it. So this year we'll say they take let's say they get that first pick. They take Thibodeau out of Oregon, and then with that later pick, they go, they file another need. They get a receiver, they get a running back. I think a receiver makes the most sense there, but we'll see. So no quarterback this year. Next year, Jared Goff goes out. This team makes a steady incline to improvement, and we'll say six, 10, we'll say 7 and 10.
Oh my
7 and 10.
God.
That's a
That's like
big
a dream right
that's a big
now.
leap. Right, that's a big leap, but that's still a losing record. It's a big turn. It's another year though of them being able to get the guys they want, getting everything implemented the way they want. 7, 10, and 1. It's a stretch. Believe me, it's a big stretch, but this is a scenario I have to give you. If I tell you 4 and 13, that's not going to sell you on anything. So 7 and 10, it's an improvement upward. Goff goes out and has a 2.5 to 1 touchdown to interception ratio. So we'll say somewhere in like the 22 and say like 10 or 11, somewhere in there. 22 and 10, throws for 3,500 yards and genuinely has a usable offense, an offense that can continue. So you're looking at potentially 6 more wins. You're looking at a quarterback with a pretty good touchdown to interception margin, a guy who's going to be right in the middle of the pack for passing yards.
Okay.
Okay. At the end of this, now if they go 7 and 10, there is no first overall pick. They'd be
Right.
lucky to stay in the top 5, in my opinion, more than likely. So you're not drafting top 5. Now again, you do have 2 first round picks that you can package together to maybe move up. And we'll say CJ Stroud's the guy out of Ohio State. He's the one that has the big year next year, like we assume. Is what I just laid out for you, a 7 and 10 record, an offense that improved clearly by the numbers, and knowing that you're going to be just outside that top 5, likely not to get that number one quarterback. Is that enough to look at Jared Goff and say, we're still going to draft a quarterback, but we're not going to draft a quarterback that replaces you right now because his contract would be up. And we say, we're going to re-sign you to an extension for another year or two. It's not going to be as much money because you know what it is, but is it enough of a placeholder to keep Jared Goff here past 2022?
You know, you're almost eerily describing Jim Caldwell's record when he left the team. Like, if Jared Goff got us back to Jim Caldwell era, and we still take a quarterback, and we have a rookie quarterback finally in our system, and it's obviously, like you said, not going to be the top tier ones that would go. But if we use the second or third round pick, which we know the odds, but if we grabbed a quarterback from that spot, and there's someone behind him that's not David Blau or whatever, whoever's even over there now, yeah, but give me a rookie talent from either this draft class or the future one that makes a Pro Bowl. Give me a Kenny Galladay when we had Kenny Galladay, right? So make me see some other talent that we draft, developed, and Jared Goff works with and becomes his favorite receiver, and he makes a Pro Bowl as a rookie. Give me that. Okay, Jared Goff, you're not the most immediate problem anymore on this team. But I'd still hate that he was there.
Exactly, but what I'm trying to say is of the scenario I just gave you. Can we call that almost like the line? Anything below that, Jared Goff's gone. Anything
Yeah.
above that, it's hard to say that he doesn't at least earn himself one more year if he wants to be here. Now, this is all predicated on does Jared Goff want to be here one more year? Is a QB situation in another city so dire that he could potentially sign and be the starting quarterback there without anybody pushing him? I mean, look,
Yeah.
we don't know. We like, again, we're looking 2 years in the future, and right now, I would say, if you look at the NFL, it's almost the safest it's ever been for starting quarterbacks. Almost every team has a starting quarterback that they are at least still in the early stages of or are comfortable with. I mean, you can make an argument that like maybe 2 or 3 teams. I mean, we don't know what's going to happen in Cleveland with Baker. I think the Giants are about to turn on Daniel Jones any day now. Pittsburgh, Ben
Washington.
Roethlisberger. I mean, yeah, Washington's just got a lot of questions. I think Pittsburgh's about Jared Goff, or not Jared Goff. Ben Roethlisberger said this is his last year in Pittsburgh, so you're likely going to see some kind of fluctuation there. I think after the tie, I don't know if anybody in Pittsburgh's comfortable with Mason Rudolph
Mason
as your starting
Rudolph, yeah,
quarterback.
no, no.
And then the Texans. The Texans are a question mark right now at quarterback. Other than that, every other team either has their quarterback of the future or at least has a guy that they know is going to last longer than a year or two for
Yeah.
them. So
Yeah, there might not be a market for him. You have a good point. Like, we might want to get rid of him, but I don't know who. I mean, like, I'd rather go with Tyrod Taylor or Heinicke over Jared Goff right now.
yeah, but at the same time, it also might be a great way to get him at a huge bargain because, like you said, there might not be a market. He might not be getting starting quarterback money anywhere he goes. At least here, he gets to play a little longer. He gets to be in a system he knows front and back because he'll have been in it for 2 years.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a win-win. We don't have to throw QB1 out to the Wolves day one of 2013 or 2023, because that's what's going to happen if Jared Goff doesn't re-sign. He's going to have to be the starting quarterback day one, and a lot of people are going to want whoever we draft to be that guy. But I just like it for – if I know you. Yes. No, and I'm there with you. I'd like to see it too, but we all remember what happened when we threw we've had good and bad luck. We threw Stafford to the Wolves, and he handled it well. We threw Joey Harrington to the Wolves, and the Wolves ate his ass.
Ooh.
So it's a mixed bag. But I also like it for, like I said, if in this draft they can get Ryder out of Cincinnati in that 20 to 25 spot, you got 2 years to let him sit and learn. He doesn't have to do anything in 2022. You let Jared Goff get beat to shit. And then going into the offseason, you look and say, is this guy ready to start taking snaps as the quarterback for the Lions? And if he is, it was great having you, Jared. If you want to come and re-sign as a backup, we'll re-sign you as a backup. Otherwise, we have our guy. If you don't think he's ready, hey, Jared, you want a starting quarterback contract for one more year? Ryder needs a little more time, gives you a chance to play. There's no, like we said, there's no real market for you. You're going to be taking backup QB money anywhere else you go. At least here, Ryder's still on his rookie deal, so we're not having to pay him, you know, through the note. Like we're not having to empty the bank account for him. So you get Goff at a bargain, and there you go.
I hate that I came into this podcast fully comfortable that Jared Goff's gonna be gone sooner. Like every day that goes by, he's almost gone. But you've just like convinced me that if we do draft some talent that needs to learn from whatever skill set we're gonna give him. God, you extended Jared Goff's life in my head. I don't appreciate that. I want him gone.
I think the reason it makes so much sense is because, like I said, if you look at the number I gave you, 7-10 is a quantum leap improvement for us. 100%. It's not playoff contention. It's likely finishing in the middle of our own of the NFC North. It's likely not even enough to climb to the top of the NFC North. So what I'm saying too is in 2023. You're coming off a 7-10 record. All signs would show that the next one maybe even flip the script, maybe a 10-7 record. Maybe like that's what they're ready to do. But you're also coming off 7-10, which means you had a lot to improve on, and you're throwing a number one pick QB who may or may not be ready for that into a situation. And the last thing you need is to draft CJ Stroud, is to draft whoever you want to pick. And that guy come in and we go 7-10 and then fall back to, you know, 4-13 because this guy wasn't ready to do it.
That's mismanagement. That's 100% mismanagement.
But not to mention, you've now burned the third year of Campbell's contract. You've burned the third year of Holmes's contract. And in those 3 years, they have not posted a winning record, and they have gone bad, acceptable, bad. There's no way Holmes survives it. There's no way Campbell survives that. And it might not be on them. That's why I'm saying, people that are ready to say, like, that are literally have the countdown clock, like Justin, to when Jared Goff is no longer a Lion, you might not want to live on that clock, because there's a situation here that merits Jared Goff being our quarterback one more year. Look, Jared Goff won Player of the Week this past week for 295 yards passing. Now, granted, that's an off week, but he also threw a game-winning touchdown with 4 seconds to go. So
he also gave up the ball on 4th-and-1. We almost lost the game. Hysterical.
We're going to get to this. So it is. It's a weird question. And when you ask it, it almost feels like, oh, I know the answer to that. No problem. But then as soon as you start playing with the scenario, it becomes a lot more of, maybe I don't know that. Maybe we do need this guy to be here, which is weird to say. It's weird to say. Like I said, I texted both of you with a minute left to go in this game. And I said, boy, do I miss Matt Stafford right now. Well, at the end of it, I wanted to text back, Stafford who? Jared Goff did it perfectly. He did exactly what he had to do, and he got us down the field. But I do want to talk about this game, okay? Because the first question has to be, Jay, why does 1-10-1 feel way better than it should? It's 1-10-1.
As someone who, like, I things in my house have to be, like even. Like, if I have 3 picture frames, it makes me mad. I gotta have 4, so there's 2 and 2. It's gotta be symmetrical. My own issues don't bleed over into my enjoyment of their record. I hate it still. I'd rather they lose all of their games. I was ready to sign up for that. I hate that they won. I'm probably the only person who's saying that, but I hate it.
Look, I don't hate that they won because I also think that one or two wins still gets you the number one pick. They didn't just sabotage the number one pick. I don't think that's in any jeopardy. But for me, and we were talking about this before the show about how people are giving them crap about the celebration and all that and how crazy it was. But it's like, look, you just lost 15 in a row. For some of these guys who were holdovers from last year, they've almost gone a full season without a W, and they finally got one after so many close calls. Like we said, if you go back through this schedule with all the close calls and one little thing, which that's the outcome of every football game, but one little thing goes our way, like Tucker doesn't kick a 400-yard field goal, or, you know, we don't let the guy with the worst passing record in the NFL, Lamar Jackson, throw a 45-yard first down, or Minnesota doesn't get into range, or our kicker against Pittsburgh decides that he can actually kick the ball farther than 12 yards.
Yeah,
you're looking at a team that is 4-6 right now, 5-6. You take away the tie, you take away a couple of these close calls, they're you know, they're right there. They are right there in this game, and it's like in this season, and they're not winning. They're not competing for the first overall pick anymore, but they're competitive right away. And that's what I think a lot of people are losing is the fact that this team has taken its blowouts. The loss to the Philadelphia and the loss to Cincinnati were awful. They were hard to bear. The second half in the Monday night game against Green Bay, after playing so well in the first half, it kills you. But the thing is, every week, this team has stayed in it. They went toe-to-toe with Matt Stafford's Rams up until the very end. They've taken on teams that are playoff contenders and have actually given them a run for their money. This is not a football. This record doesn't reflect this team, in my opinion. They're still not great. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to say that this team should be 10-1-1. I'm trying to say this team is better than its record, and this win gives them that motivation to know, okay, we know how to do this now. We got to keep doing that. Now, granted, Campbell did everything he could to make sure that didn't happen. I tweeted it out in the middle of the game. It's the dumbest call in NFL history to do that. I want to be clear on that. I don't mind, and I want to see where you felt with this too. I don't mind going for it. I really don't mind going for it. I don't like the play call going for it.
Oh, hell no. No, because we got burned on play action all day long. Every time they ran play action, it was a deep ball for huge. It wasn't just a chunk play. It was decent. So Dan Campbell, oh, if they can do play action, I've had enough coffee today. I'll bite some kneecaps and we'll run play action on 4th and 1. Stupid. We would be having a different type of show right now if they didn't win this game, and it was because of that 4th and 1 play.
Well, I want to get to that too, but before I do, see, that's the thing. It was the play action, and then for me, it was the fact that Minnesota had dialed up the blitz at the perfect time every time. Every time it looked like, oh, it's 3rd and 3, it's manageable, they can do this, they would send a blitz, and it would get them every single time, and they knew that. So, look, if you go back and watch that play, they had the run stopped. The outside guys got where they needed to be. They had the run stopped. There was not going to be a, you know, Jamal Williams one-yard run for a first down. But you had fairly good passing that day to these receivers. I'm blanking on his name. They just Reynolds? Reynolds is who they got from from
Josh,
LA. Yeah,
Josh Reynolds.
Josh Reynolds. Yeah. He had played great for them all day. St. Brown had been phenomenal. Hockenson was a little questionable early on, but towards the end, he started making catches for this team. I don't understand why, instead of this play action and all that, why is it not just a quick slant? Just a quick slant. Make the corner have to make the play, because in all honesty, 9 times out of 10, to make that play, it's pass interference. To be able to jump a slant like that, it's pass interference, and you get your first down anyway. The developing of it and waiting too long, I don't like. It brings too much, like what ended up happening, into play. Now, yes, Campbell knew they were going to get the ball back. He knew that no matter what happened, we're going to get the ball back. Worst case, they score a touchdown, which they did. Best case, they kick a field goal, and a field goal wins it for us. So I didn't like it for that reason, because in all honesty, I have no problem with him going for it, because it's a punt. If you punt the ball, and say you kick the best punt imaginable, you pin them at the 5-yard line with 3 minutes to go, we lose that game. Our defense hadn't stopped anyone in the second half. Minnesota was coming off scoring 17 straight. All that happens is the exact same thing that happened all these other times. Kirk Cousins milks the clock, drives it down, leaves nothing to chance because all they need is a field goal, and we lose on a 40-yard field goal at home for the fourth time in the season.
You know, it would be an 8-minute drive. We lost on an 8-minute drive the week prior. They just ran the ball for 8 minutes, and then bam, you lose the game. Yeah.
So
it was a bad play. It was a bad play because the other thing too, you run play action, you're drawing people into the pocket.
Yeah.
Like you're already saying, hey, we're gonna run it, which you should have. Well, then you're drawing people, then you're trying to pass it when you've already invited people in. Dumb.
What got me about it is that if you watch the play, Goff beat the first guy. He slipped him.
Yeah.
But the problem with that is if you slip a guy, you got to know he's not that far behind you. Nobody like gets slipped and goes, oh, I missed. Darn it.
He just keeps going. He just keeps running down the field.
He's like, I don't know what to do. It's not a Madden glitch. He's right behind you. And he still took the time to stop and wind up. It's like, no, man. At that point, you either need to run for that first down or you need to throw the fastest little shot of your life. There's no waiting, resetting, and all that. But you brought up a point, and I wanted to ask you about it. We look at it right now, and the call could have killed us. It ended up working out. Lions get their first win. Campbell gets a little bit of breathing room. Not a ton, but a little bit of breathing room to kind of feel like, okay, I got my first win. Now let's start building. I told my dad that on the way here. It's a horrible football team, but guess what? It's a win. In order to start winning games, you have to win the first one. They did that. How different does this landscape look if we go for it on fourth down like we did, turnover, they score, and then even if it's they drive all the way down and that last play is a drop ball with 4 seconds left, Lions lose. How different does this look from the media perspective, from the fan perspective, if Campbell does this when in everybody's mind punting is the right move, even though our defense really hadn't stopped anyone in the second half, and they lose this game? I feel like it's an immediate call that you have to make if you're the Fords saying, sorry, Dan, we gotta let you go now. That's just – that right there was the straw that kind of broke it for you.
I mean, for fans and the media, yeah, we're going to call for that in a heartbeat. Like, he was on the radio doing a show, and he even said, if I didn't win this game, everyone would be calling for my head, and rightfully so. But – you know, the Fords actually executing that? No. You'll get some people saying, hey, we gave the man 6 years. It's year one. Let him pick his own players. Let him do his own thing, which I get. But look, it's personally for me, I was hoping they'd lose every single game right out. Just lose every single game and let us just be the worst that we could possibly be. They got one. They got one, and the landscape would be a little different, but it's still like the fourth and one still happens. Jared Goff is a veteran quarterback in this league. He still had to have the presence of mind that someone was behind him, and he didn't. He still has fumbled in the red zone a bajillion times. Like the quality or the defects, and they're humans, right? But from a athletic standpoint, the defects are still on this team.
Yeah,
we just got to win, and can they carry that momentum into Denver? I don't know. I don't know if they weren't up to win games before and getting their first win is now the motivation for them to perform, that there's a bigger issue there. We'll never win the division if that's the attitude.
It's a tough question to answer because I don't think there's a easy answer to it. But I have to ask, they got this win. What did you see differently from weeks prior? Was it closing out? Was it actually going for it, failing, and not letting it be what ends you, not letting it be what breaks you? You know you're still in the game. You go out, you execute a drive to win a game. Was it that, or was it just more of like maybe them getting out to a good start and not letting it just completely fade out?
I mean, I liked the fact that we held Minnesota early in the game to in or near the red zone and not getting a touchdown and them having to settle for field goals or a missed field goal. Like that was it. We've limited team scoring points in 3 weeks now somehow. And we've done it earlier in the year too. So I think that has helped. And then actually having a chance. I forgot who it was against, but it wasn't Pittsburgh. It was after Pittsburgh. It was an 8-minute drive. You allowed 8 minutes to run off the clock.
It was either Cleveland or Chicago, yeah.
I was thinking it was Chicago, but like we had a chance. Jared Goff, no timeouts, a minute 30, minute 40, whatever it was, down the field. We chunked our way to a victory. So I think we had an opportunity to be the last team to touch the ball, which I think is important.
Which is, we haven't had that. Yeah, we haven't had that a lot lately, is the chance to let us be the one that decides the fate, not the other team. So I agree with you on that. I do. I mean, it's stating the obvious. I don't think it hurt that Dalvin Cook and Adam Thielen weren't on the field all day. That probably played something into it.
Put Adam Thielen in that game.
Yeah,
I think that game. I mean, Kirk Cousins is an average ass vanilla quarterback as it comes.
And before we get to Denver, that actually leads to my last question. Look, he's a former Sparty. Whatever you feel about him, you feel about him. How much time does Kirk Cousins have left in Minnesota before they have to start looking elsewhere?
Yeah, Minnesota built itself in opposite of what most teams did. And Minnesota got all their players and then put an average quarterback around a bunch of studs. And it worked for them. Delvin Cook, this is his third time getting hurt. Madison's a nice backup. Thielen, I mean, Justin Jefferson, they're all great. I don't know, man. Kirk Cousins has overstayed his welcome. He's like that relative that comes to your house and everyone else is leaving and they're just like hanging around. You're like, I need to clean up. I want to relax. I don't want to socialize. They didn't get the memo yet. Kirk needs to go soon.
No, I completely agree. Look, I think Kirk Cousins kind of fell into that thing we see out of some guys where he was really good on a really bad team in Washington. And because of that, it made him look far better than he really was. And then he stepped into a division where at a time you had the best quarterback in the league in Aaron Rodgers. You had Matt Stafford, who was easily a top 10, if at not some point, some points a top five quarterback. And Chicago made a bad choice in Trubisky and they lived with it. But over time, Trubisky had his moments where he didn't look that bad.
Yeah.
So Cousins stepped into an area where you had to be good and on the second you started playing. And he really never did that. And I think, like you said, I think he's kind of seeing a real downtick because he is now the worst part of the talent side of that offense, and it's making things a lot harder for him. Like I said, Kirk Cousins, I'm trying to get it to load here. He's sixth in the league in passing yards with 3,353. And see, that's the thing. He's actually got great numbers. 25 touchdowns, that's tied for fifth in the league. He's tied for first with only three interceptions, and he's got a QBR of 56.5, which is 10th. But this is, I believe if I'm not mistaken, this is a 5-7 football team. Something's not adding up here. Now, again, Dalvin Cook, Thielen being hurt makes things a little tougher, but at some point you need a quarterback that's going to start making these numbers happen with anybody that's on the field, kind of like what Stafford did all those years.
You know, the talent is carrying the team, not the quarterback. That's what that is over
there. I wholeheartedly agree with you. Okay, moving on. We got a win. We're on a one-game winning streak, Jay.
Whew.
Let's see if we can keep it going. We probably can't. Lions head to Mile High, taking on the Denver Broncos, who are a 6-6 football team. They're 500 at home right now, 3-3. Denver is giving 8. Last I saw, this could have altered, but last I saw, Denver is giving 8, and the over/under is 42. Jay, this is a Denver Broncos team that, I mean, they're not bad, but they're not great either. They have a lot of question marks to figure out. I think mainly first and foremost, while we're talking about it, they have a huge QB question. Yep. Is Teddy Bridgewater the guy here? I don't think they know. They drafted Drew Lock a couple years ago. They can't seem to find ways to get him on the field because he just never wants to be. So they're another team that, depending on where their record falls, could be in the market for a quarterback here in the next couple months. And so, when you look at this team, it's 6-6, which is way better than 1-10-1, but it's not running away with anything. Headed to Mile High, so it's a road game that you gotta figure out how to make this happen. I can't lie, I like the Lions in this game, but I don't like them enough to say that this is like easy to say grand slam home run game for them. I'm gonna go pretty simple here. I'm gonna take the over. I don't like either of the defenses on this team. So I'm going to go with, I'm going to say 27-24 Denver. I'll say 27-24 Denver. Another heartbreaker late, but the Lions are in this one all the way to the end. And unfortunately, what we had last week, we get flipped on us again this week. We just can't possess the ball to end the game.
You know what? Lions getting 8 points should be just the bet of the week. Because, like, we've held teams very closely in the score for 3 or 4 weeks in a row. I don't think – so no one is losing sleep over Jared Goff and Teddy Bridgewater. Like, no coaches are like, damn, how are we going to game plan against them? That ain't a thing. They need a new quarterback. But what they are, though, is they score more than us. They allow less points than us. And they're getting more yards compared to the Lions in the air and on the ground. They've got a duo of Melvin Gordon and Javonte Williams in the backfield. We just have Jamal Williams, and we know what Jamal Williams is going to do. He's going to run straight. That's it. He gets big, sometimes 6, 7, 8 yards, or he gets stuffed a yard after the line of scrimmage. So I just feel like they do have the better team. They have a 20. I know we do this sometimes with the percentages. They have a 25% chance to win. I think that's appropriate. I think that's a very appropriate percentage for them.
It's a good shot.
One out of every four, but this ain't the one. We're on the road. We're losing 27-14.
27-14. Okay. All right. So you're taking the under. You're not even.
Yeah, it's the under for sure. Low scoring. I mean, Teddy Bridgewater.
I was looking at that while we were talking about it, and let's call 42 the average over under. It's a fair average. About six or seven times this season, which is about 50% of the time, they have held to the under. They are not, there are not a lot of, I mean, obviously those first 2 weeks were a lot of points. Then they went on a little run of keeping it underneath since he got 34 on us. So they did it almost all by themselves. And then a couple more weeks of, and then the last couple weeks, other than, Minnesota, they went 4 weeks in a row keeping the under. So this is, there's not a lot of scoring when the Lions play people, but it's just a question of who's going to have more of the scoring. So, you know, I it's that thing. You want to believe, hey, maybe this is what turned for them, and now they can figure out how to rack up some wins. But like we were saying earlier, I almost don't want them to win. I would really like that first overall pick, because that second first-round pick is not going to be a top 10 pick. So I'd rather have that value than, don't get me wrong, wins are great and they're fun to have, but at the end of the day, what do they have? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So 6-10-1, you're not making the playoffs. You're going to be in the exact same spot you would be, but you're going to be about 8 draft picks higher up than.
Don't even mention this. If this happens, I will quit being a Lions fan. They have a golden ticket of not a quarterback here, but we don't need to breed a winning culture at this point in the game. Like, if I get Desperation Dan in Denver, I'm going to hate it. Dan should be minding his P's and Q's and doing the correct play calling when appropriate. And if he has to punt in plus territory, then goddamn it, punt the ball.
I think had this win come 6 or 7 weeks ago.
Yeah.
I think, okay, racking up some wins might not be the worst thing, because it shows they can win. This is coming with 4 or 5 weeks to go. No matter what you do, you're not going to be in the playoffs. You'd barely even scratch the wild card if you could. So at this point, play your games. Play as hard as you can. But it's okay if you miss a field goal or two here and there, because that first overall pick is worth a lot more to us than a 6-10 season. Correct. That's just what it is.
The value is already there for us to just take the first overall pick.
Exactly. It's something they need to do. I completely wholeheartedly agree with you. All right. Well, Russ isn't here this week, so I have to see how much I can draw out of you of actual positivity, because it's going to be very hard. Michigan gets a 42-3 win in the Big Ten championship against Iowa. Just to recap it for you real quick, Cade McNamara, 16-24, 169, 1-1. Edwards with a 75-yard bomb for one touchdown. Not a real big rushing day for us, 211 as a team. Blake Corum, 5 carries for 74 yards. Hassan Haskins, 17 carries for 56 yards. Each had a touchdown. Wilson led us in receiving, 2 catches with 82 yards. On the flip side, like I said, Iowa only had 3 points, so there's not going to be too many touchdowns to report.
None.
Yeah, thank you.
That's quick math. That's quick calculations.
Petrus, 9 of 22, 137. They rushed for 114 or 104 yards as a team. Leading receiver Laporta, 6 catches for 62 yards. Jay, when you look at this, and I was asked this question today about have I finally reached that point where I have the confidence and the swagger's going to start coming back? And I got to say, after this game, I don't know that the swagger's coming back, but I think after this one, I finally feel comfortable to say, okay, this isn't a fluke. We're actually a decent team this year and have a reason to be here. I was, you're always hesitant against Ohio State. So to me, it was that step by step. We lost to you guys, and it's like, okay, this is where we start unraveling, tailspin. They'll finish, 9-3 or whatever. But we kept, we bounced back and we kept going. We got the win against Ohio State. All right, that's big for us. That's great. Even if we don't win the Big Ten, we got Ohio State this year. That's a building block. We won the Big Ten. Okay, we're in the playoff. I think right now I have finally reached the point where I can say, look, I'm not putting it in here right now, Michigan to win the Natty, but I'm comfortable saying Michigan belongs where they are right now. They're not, this isn't a fluke. This isn't out of nowhere. It isn't just luck of the draw. Michigan is a top four team in this country right now, and where they are is where they deserve to be.
It's true. I mean, if you want to equate it to a GIF, it's the Undertaker waking up in the middle of being dead GIF. Like Undertaker's just planking dead, and he just goes, "I'm here." Like that's what this season has been. It's been a developing story for Michigan to get where they're at. I'm not surprised that they won the game. I'm not surprised. I am surprised they're Big Ten champs. If you told me that earlier, I'd laugh at your face.
Yeah, no,
But
I agree.
they did. Like I said, what? I said 41-7 would be the score. Pretty damn close. You guys, first of all, Petrus looks like Doug Funny, and I can't not unsee Doug Funny in a helmet now. He literally looks like Doug Funny. You guys, you took care of business in ways that is inspiring for your school. You shouldn't have swagger just quite yet. It can't be annoying Michigan fan. I can't deal with that out of you
No, not at
yet.
all. Yeah.
But I think you've abolished. And you have some retribution to the first several years of Harbaugh. You should feel encouraged that this might happen again. It is possible, but don't go off doing McGregor anytime soon. Unless you win
Exactly.
the, if you win the Natty, you could do whatever you want.
Oh, if we win the Natty, I'm renaming this show.
I
No,
thought you were
I, but
saying
I,
your kid. I thought you were gonna
no.
pick Nora or Mia's name and rename them.
Yeah, if we win the Natty, I get to rename Nora like Kate or Hassan or something. Look, and yes, I get it. Especially in Michigan State. I feel like Ohio State, they have the bragging rights to do it, but Michigan State, it's a year to year who gets to get the inflated head. Some years it's Michigan. Oh, we're awesome. We beat you guys. You guys are garbage. The next year, oh, like you guys beat us. Oh, your little brother thing that you like. And it's that thing of this is a year where I think the perfect thing happened. We got deflated by you guys, but we didn't let it, sink us. We were able to rally and get going again and finish off. We didn't let like a lot of teams will let that one game that's a quote unquote crucial game be what, derails them, and Michigan didn't do that. It would have been just as easy to get a couple wins, get buried by Ohio State, finish 10-2, and everybody's like, yep, that's about what we expect. This is what we are with Harbaugh. But instead they were able to, propel it. And I think a lot of that has to do with, and I know this is a sore subject for you. Believe me when I say I'm a Michigan fan and I am on the state side of this one. I really am. I think a lot of it has to do with that defense and those two edge rushers. Especially Aiden, who's getting a little bit more love than he probably deserves. I'll be fair to that.
We don't say the H word. This is an H word free
No,
podcast. I
I'm
do
not
not
gonna
want to hear
say
the
it.
H word today.
I'm not gonna say. But I agree. I think that Walker should be in there
Don't
over
say
Aiden.
it.
I'm being straight. I'm not gonna say the word, but I'm being straightforward with you. I think that it's a lot of where your team finished bias is the unfortunate side of that. It's, but what I'm trying to say is those two guys and what they've done have been absolutely the reason why this team is here. Now we've had a great run attack. Hassan Haskins and Blake Corum have been one of the best 1-2 punches in college football this year. Cade has had a great year. He's managed, I think at one point I saw he was number one in the country in turnovers because he only had like one interception through nine games or something like that. So he's done exactly what they needed him to do. He was never that guy, but he was always the guy that was going to cost you the game. So I liked him for that. But those two edge rushers and that defense and how they can build off that pressure has been exactly what we've been looking for. In all honesty, I hate to bring him up because everybody's like, oh, he's the god in Michigan. Harbaugh did exactly what he wanted to do. He played Bo Schembechler boring ass football. And that's really what it is. It worked. We win on defense. Our offense does just enough to make sure you can't catch us. And that's the end of it.
And you can't knock him. If you come up with a formula that works and it gets you a Big Ten championship, I don't care whose formula it is. Because that's what you guys stuck to a plan the entire season and did not deviate from it. Sometimes putting J.J. McCarthy in, and we criticized it a lot.
A little bit, yeah.
But it turned out to be valuable. It was the wrinkle in the game where you're like, shit, what do we do? So, hey, I'll give you guys credit. You did what no one thought you could possibly do. And you, unfortunately for me, have a defensive player who got nominated for a thing because of it. And it propels you into a great conversation with Georgia now. And I dare you to do it again. I'd love to see it happen again, because I don't think it's gonna.
What happened, and again, I'm not gonna say the name. We all know what it is by now. This right here proved to me that said award is not about the best player in the country. It's about the best player on one of the best teams in the country. Because if you look at who are the finalists, are in the playoff, and the other two, one of them had a breakout year at Ohio State, and the other one's there because, you know, look, he's probably the number one quarterback in the draft when it happens, and you just got to keep him there. What Walker did surpasses almost all of them, almost all of them. So it is exactly that. That award is for whoever the best player is on a team that finished best. I said it. You could go out there and set records at your position, and if you finish the season outside the college football playoff, they will never make you a finalist, and that is tragic, because it takes away the spotlight for guys that legitimately earned being the best player in the country.
It is. Watch Kenneth Walker get 5 touchdowns against Pitt.
I hope so.
And then a committee should – I mean, no one's going to hold them to any accountability, so it doesn't matter. But, like, it's the equivalent of, like, when the MTV Music Awards were about, like, wow, that was a great music video. It ain't about that anymore. It's about whose number one club banger came out, like, a month ago. Oh, you're charting on Spotify? Congratulations, you get an MTV Music Award. It's nothing to do about the videos anymore.
That's because nobody watches music videos anymore.
Well, I watched Kenneth Walker, goddammit, and he should be in New York this weekend.
I know exactly what you're saying. I'm just saying, like, what music videos were to us is what TikTok is to people today. It's very different. Music videos aren't what they used to be and all that. And it's sad. All right. We're going to get to the college football playoff here in a minute, but there are a couple bowl games. I thought, we can go over and, you know, see what there is, see what's entertaining to watch. Look, I'm not trying to be offensive here, but if you play before December 25th, congratulations. I hope you have a fun time. We're not going to talk about you.
No.
No, not at all. What we are going to talk about, we're going to lead it off with two schools that it's going to be very interesting to watch them play each other, because neither of their head coaches will be there to coach them, and that is Oregon against Oklahoma. They will be playing in the Valero Alamo Bowl at the Alamo Dome in San Antonio right now. And again, this is like, we're still a couple weeks away, so things are probably going to change. But right now, if this game happened, OU is giving up 4.5, and the over-under is 61.5, Jay. They expect a lot of points in this game. Like we said, Lincoln Riley heads to the West Coast, to USC. I'm blanking on his name. It's like Crisco or whatever. But Oregon's head coach. Yeah, takes the Cristobal. That's what it is. Takes the head coaching job in Miami. Never gonna understand what the thought process was there. Maybe he just needs to work on his tan. But these are two teams that I think at the start of the year were both kind of penciled in as favorites to potentially be in the college football playoff. Things transpired. Oregon gets a big win over Ohio State, and just couldn't maintain, couldn't stay where they were. Oklahoma had a rough get-go. They had to make the QB change. Spencer Rattler is in the transfer portal. We'll see what happens to him. So Oregon 10-3, Oklahoma 10-2. Jay, when you look at this one, when you turn this game on, what are you expecting to see as a final?
All right. Well, number one, when I turn the game on, I will not have a bet slip in for the over, because Russ, this is your first class at Justin's School of Bets. over 60s or 60 and over? Mm-mm, no. When you feel like when you get to 60 and it sounds like retirement, retire your bet. Do not put that in there. So I'm not touching the over. All I know is Oklahoma is 6-1 against Oregon in school record for bowl games. Yep. I'm riding with Oklahoma. I don't care that it's Bob Stoops. I don't care that it's his first game with the team. I don't care that Spencer Rattler hit the transfer portal. Beat Oregon's ass. It plain and simple. So I'll take Oklahoma to cover the 4.5. And the under, because when you get 60, you better retire. So I'm out on that.
There's a lot. Yeah, no, I agree. 60 is a high number. I was sitting there agreeing with you, like, wow, 60 is high. And then I was doing the math of what I thought the score was going to be, and I'm like, wow, I'm over 60. I was like, okay, let's rework. Let's
no,
get back.
No, I'm going to retire. My
original prediction was going to be 35-27 Oklahoma. That being said, I agree with you. That's a big number. That's a very big number. So I'm going to fit right in that underside. I am going to go with – I'm going to go right around 30-24 Oklahoma. That I expect them to cover the 4.5. Again, this is Bob Stoops has nothing to lose here because he's not fighting for a job. They've already hired a head coach. He's just filling in to help out. So I'd say 30-24 Oklahoma in that one. My wife will be very happy to see her Sooners get a bowl win.
Would you say that Bob Stoops can call play action on 4th-and-1 in plus territory because he's got
Absolutely.
Nothing to lose?
Yeah, he can do whatever he wants.
That's the real coach check. Can you do this? Yes or no?
Yeah, absolutely no. He can do whatever he wants. It's the next one on my list, so we're going to talk about it, Jay. On where the heck is the date for this one? December 30th at 7 p.m. Michigan State Spartans take on Pittsburgh in the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl. If you've ever been to Chick-fil-A, it's a great experience. Pittsburgh is giving 3, and again, Jay, we're above 60, 63.5.
All right, so the line moved today because Pickett was on some show, and he did not say yes or no if he's playing this game. He might skip it to go for the NFL.
The NFL.
The line moved to State getting 1.5. So it's almost a pick 'em on that. I don't care if the line was giving Pitt 7. Michigan State just had to play injured against OSU and get embarrassed and lose every chance of going to Indy. And then they had to play Penn State in the snow. We have not been able to play healthy and with good conditions. And when we go wherever this game is going to get played, you've got a fueled up Kenneth Walker who's pissed off and probably, you know what, fine. I'll go run up a million against Pitt because I'm going for the draft, and this is what's going to get me my draft value, opposed to 20 minutes on TV in New York. Take State, whatever the spread is, just hit it. Maybe run it with the money line too to double up your odds on a parlay. But State's going to kill. I don't even have a score for this game. State's going to murder Pittsburgh. We've had to play in the snow, and we had to play hurt against OSU. This is all we have left. And Tucker's got to get his recruiting class lined up with a big victory here. This game has a lot of meaning for me, so take State.
Absolutely. I agree with you that State is going to handle their business here. I think Pickett not playing makes that a lot easier if he's not playing. But I also see this as, if you're Mel Tucker, you know what you just missed out on with how the season ended. You know what your number one guy is missing out on after what he did for your team, not being nominated for the Stiff Arm Award. That's what we're going to call it, the Stiff Arm Award.
Danger.
But it's fair. Everybody knows what I'm talking about, the Stiff Arm Award. So I see this as exactly what you said. I hope that Walker rushes for 5 touchdowns. And that's how they win this game. Keep this thing on the ground. Burn the heck out of that clock. I don't think it's going to be like a 14-10 game. I expect a lot more scoring than that, but I don't expect that 63.5 to even be remotely close. I have it more like 27-17 Michigan State. let Walker just go loose. And I honestly hope at the end of it, when they're asking Mel Tucker, how's it feel to get this win? He goes, feels great. Would have been better if we had a trophy for one of our guys at the end of this. I hope he really lets them know, you guys screwed this one up. So I say 27-17, Michigan State. Walker had an amazing year. He's going to cap it off with another big night. And hopefully his stock just keeps rising because he's one hell of a football player.
Oh, yeah.
Moving on, like I said, we're going to get to the college football playoff here in a second because I actually have some predictions that were thrown out that I want to get your reaction to. So we're gonna jump over those two ones, and we're going to go into New Year's. And there's two more games I want to ask you about. This one to me is kind of interesting because these are both teams that I think expected to be in the college football playoff going into the last week. And that is Oklahoma State, Notre Dame. Okay.
I knew that one was coming.
Yeah, you knew that was coming. In the PlayStation Fiesta Bowl in Glendale, Arizona, Notre Dame is giving 2.5, and the over-under, not as insane this time, 45.5. Oklahoma State needed to get a last-second win, which, by the way, if you have not seen the last play of the Oklahoma State-Baylor game, that guy might have had to transfer just because he came up literally 6 inches short of taking this team to the college football playoff. On the other side, you have Notre Dame, who a lot of people are speculating because the committee came out and said it, that Brian Kelly leaving was going to play into the factor of a team not having their head coach. They don't know how they feel about that team playing in a playoff. So Notre Dame, and I also think it hurts Notre Dame that they don't play in a division. They don't have a division championship like the rest of these schools do to have to get there. So these are two really good football teams. I think both of them, you could have at one point when they were kind of jumbling everything around, both teams fit in there as a Final Four. They won't be in this one. They'll be playing just short of it, kind of like Oklahoma State's running back. But Jay, when I look at this one, Oklahoma State had an amazing year. They were a phenomenal football team. I remember I watching Oklahoma State every year. Bedlam is a big deal to my wife. If you put burnt orange on at all in our house, she'll stab you. So it's pretty bad. So this is a great football team. I think they would have gotten a little messed up had they gone into the college football playoff. They were a good team. I don't think they were ready to be there good. And on the other side, Notre Dame looks good every year because if you look at their schedule, they don't really play anyone that would make you think, oh, wow, that was a real tough game. I don't know how they did that. It's kind of like, yeah, they're 10-2 every year. It's going to be that way for the rest of their lives because they get to pick who they play. And if you're doing that, why the hell would you pick Alabama or Georgia or back in the day, USC, unless you absolutely had to. So it's going to be a good game. It's going to be a fun game. I think Notre Dame covers. I really do. I see this as about, I honestly think Notre Dame is going to be a little angry they didn't get in after the season they had. So I'm going to say this is somewhere in the realm of 27-20.
Are you contractually obligated to not pick
No,
Oklahoma
not at all.
State because of Aaron, like Burt Orange less. Equivalent, like you're going to get stabbed for saying it?
No, Aaron could care less in all honesty. So,
all right, text me. If you need me, text me. here, look, that draft class, they probably came to Notre Dame and put a bullseye on their head for not being a part of a conference because of Brian Kelly, and now they're going to win despite him. Because, like, if I played for Notre Dame, I'll probably get pissed off looking at a Burger King sign. Like, you show me BK on a sign, I'm going to get livid because BK just left the building in his 11-minute press conference with his with athletes. He got to go play for him. I don't even have a score. They cover the spread. If I was a player for Notre Dame, I'm going to play to show Brian Kelly that he should have stayed. You know, if you need a $1 million allotment to go buy a house, here you go. Here's a million points up against OSU. So, yeah, I'll take Notre Dame in this game, and I'll take them to cover. Just it's emotions. How do you not win because your coach just left? Show him what an idiot he is, whether he's one or not.
Say I'm even more excited to hear when Notre Dame does win, and they ask Kelly about how it feels to see his former team get a win, to see how Southern his accent is when he
That is so dumb. Why is he flexing on people with his Southern drawl that came out of nowhere? Like,
I
How,
know.
he,
No,
he went
I'm
from
with
Irish to
you. I'm with
Southern in
you.
2 seconds.
He's literally from like Connecticut, and he's like, "Y'all, I love being down here at LSU. This is where I want to be."
Go to jail. You go
Yeah,
straight to jail.
it was bad. It was bad. All right. Before we get to the college football playoff, we can't talk about bowl games without talking about probably the most famous bowl game that isn't a college football playoff game, and that's the Rose Bowl. Everybody wants to play in it. It's the big deal. This year, you have the 10-3 Utah Utes or whatever they are. I don't even know at this point. Against a 10-2 Ohio State, who's sixth in the country. Ohio State is giving 6.5, and Jay, another one of your retired games. 66.5 points is the spread on this one. Let me ask you
CJ
this. The easier,
Stroud.
yeah, the easier way to answer this. Is this the revenge tour for Ohio State? Like, is CJ Stroud gonna put up 400 yards and like six touchdowns in Pasadena?
I don't see why not. He's got three wideouts on his team that are NFL caliber wideouts, and everyone's playing for a paycheck. Barring injury, which I feel like, people could start letting up a little bit in fear of getting hurt. It should be the Justin told me in class not to hit the over, but I'm doing it. Screw him. CJ Stroud, he's probably pissed that he lost to Oregon because that's probably why he's not winning the Heisman, because Bryce Young is going to take it. So, I feel like a lot of people are going to take things personally on bowl games. Take out your vengeance in a tropical area. It's a Rose Bowl. It still has value. I know some people don't care because of the playoff is here. Rose Bowl is beautiful. I love the Rose Bowl. And I think CJ Stroud should too. So OSU and the over and the cover.
Yeah, I think CJ Stroud's going to put up a Heisman, what would be a Heisman clinching game. I think he's just going to come out and ball out. And I think every team in the NFL is going to immediately mark him for number one overall pick following year when he's eligible. So we'll see. I'm with you. This might be the only one where the over actually feels comfortable because I think you could very easily see like a 45 to 27 kind of game. This could be like a watch us really just beat the shit out of you kind of game. So 45, I'll say 45-27. No amount of points you want to give Utah is going to be enough, unfortunately. I hate to say. Now, Jay here, I'm going to give you, I decided to do it this way for a little bit of fun. I have the spreads up until a certain point for these games, but I wanted to do it. The second they announced it, ESPN put out their prediction for bowl games, and this is ESPN's first reaction. I'll give you the spreads and all that, and then I'm going to read the prediction. I want to know if you agree with the line and with the points they think is going to happen. So we'll go first here. In the semifinal of the Goodyear Cotton Bowl, which is Alabama against Cincinnati. So the spread on that one at this point is Alabama giving 13.5, and the over-under is 58. So just shy of your give up number, 58. According to ESPN, if that game's played right now, Alabama wins that game 38-27. So that's 11. They won't even cover they won't cover the spread.
No, that I don't like that. I'm not as concerned with the over there,
Okay.
but if Bama's not a 14-point favorite, like they should be a two touchdown better team than Cincinnati. Cincinnati hasn't played nobody. Okay, we're letting them into the playoff because they played nice football against less than schools.
But
But
they haven't played anybody, but they've also in those games they've had some close calls like everybody has, but in those
yeah.
games they've haven't shown any signs that they can't play with anyone. They just haven't had to play with everyone. It's kind of my way of
Correct.
saying that.
Yeah,
It's the same it's that same argument like Boise State all those years. Boise State won like 50 games in a row and they never got a chance to play for the national championship because everybody had the fear that they were going to go into Alabama or go into USC or Texas or Ohio State, and it was going to be a 50-0 national championship. So for me, it's that I'd rather I until you show me you can't play with everyone, I'll assume you can't. 12-0 is good enough for everyone. Now, if you go out there and like this, you get shelled 45-3. Okay, yeah, you weren't meant to be here, but it is what it is.
Hey, it's Nick Saban, man. I think if Vegas is putting at 13.5, maybe they think they're gonna, balance some money more with people who are in love with Cincy in some weird way, or maybe, they don't believe in Bryce Young as much, or they're not gonna show as much and they're saving it for Georgia or Michigan. I'm still taking give them 13.5. I don't care. It's I don't I've every week it's a religion for me. I take Bama spread and I parlay it with something else I think is cute. Like I'm taking Bama spread plus Purdue in whatever stupid bowl game they're playing because they burn our ass. I love those. It's like plus 300 for me. So
Okay.
I think ESPN is off in terms of Bama not covering. Bama covers. You have to
Okay.
take Bama to cover that line.
All right, well, here's the disagreement. I actually think that the over under, I like it to a T. I like 58 to the number here. I like 38-30 Alabama.
Oh my God,
Alabama
you're gonna take
wins.
Cincy and the points?
I like Alabama to win.
Yeah.
I don't like Cincy's defense as much as I like Cincy's offense. I don't think
Okay.
Cincy will have a hard time scoring. I think they'll have a hard time keeping Alabama from scoring. So this legitimately is going to turn into whoever has the ball last. If Cincy has the ball last and is within scoring distance, they have a fair shot. But if they have to try to make a three and out stop to win this game or to get the ball back to win this game, I don't like it. I don't like it at all. So I think 38-30, Alabama's going to go to the national championship. I would love Cincy to go. I think it'd be amazing to see them, kind of prove everybody wrong. I'm rooting for them when it's not Michigan. But for me, 38-30, Alabama, Nick Saban goes to his 47th straight national championship, and it is what it is.
Famous last words. Saban
Yeah.
didn't cover. Okay.
Hey, but that's where I feel. I like their offense. I don't like their defense. That's
Yeah.
where that's where you really lose me is because I'm very high on Ryder. I would draft Ryder tomorrow to be our quarterback of the future if we can get
Yeah.
him in that late first round or even early second round. I really do like him. I but we always do our draft coverage and all that a little later on, but I'm going on record right now. Unless something miraculous happens, Ryder is the best quarterback in this upcoming draft, in my opinion. And Gabe, by the way, I haven't been too wrong about these. I mean, someone picked Justin Herbert to be the best quarterback in his class. It's going pretty well, I would like to point out. Just in case you didn't notice that, it's going pretty well. Someone else picked Tua Tagovailoa, and that didn't work out for him very well.
You know what? He's on my fantasy team, and I'm going to ride him into the playoffs of our fantasy league right now,
Well,
okay?
you can ride.
Tua.
Yeah, you
Tua's
can
my
ride
guy.
him into. You can ride him into the ground just like Miami's doing. On the flip side, here we go. Other side of it. So we have Alabama on one side. No surprise there. Right now, Georgia is giving 7.5. Over under is 43.5. Okay. ESPN's first reaction prediction has, I love their prediction. Let me just say that. Their first reaction prediction has Michigan winning 24-21 over Georgia in the
Say that one more
Capital
time.
One Orange
So
Bowl.
24-21 Michigan?
24-21 Michigan in the
Oh
Orange
my.
Bowl.
What? Who wrote that? Steve McCrackhead? Like, what is. Oh,
I'm
come
just
on.
giving you. Now again, these are conflicting because this I got literally this morning. The first reaction thing came out a couple days ago. So you gotta, again, but I'm just saying ESPN's first reaction is that Michigan beats Georgia 24-21 in this. Now the up-to-date stat line has Georgia giving a touchdown on a 43.5 over under. Now, if you look at that 24-21, that hits the over. You're at 44 or you're at 45. So the over, how do you feel about that over? And I mean, how do you feel about Michigan covering and then some?
So I'll take the under up until you get to the 40s and 41 because I don't see a lot of scoring here. Michigan winning, not covering. I mean, the 7.5 I saw this morning. So yeah, I just. The way I run off of emotions, you know this. So, okay. So, Michigan plays Michigan State. You've got Kenneth Walker looking like the Heisman. Oh, I said the word at the time. And then you go to OSU and you take care of business because you're pissed off and your defense did this and that and that. Georgia could say the same thing. They just lost to the Heisman winner. They just got smacked around for their alleged best defense of the year. I still think they have a quality defense, but they just got taken to town. Just like U of M did after MSU beat them and then went to Ohio State and took care of business, I see Georgia doing the same thing. Georgia finally had the first moment of someone slapping them in the face a little bit. And now they have to say, we're Georgia. They slipped at the wrong time. So I see Georgia winning this game. I don't know about them covering 7.5. I think Michigan earns that respect between Aiden Hutchinson and Ojabe. They get that respect there. So I might take Michigan in the points, but Georgia's got to get pissed. And if they don't get up for this game, again, what's the point of playing the football game? If this won't get
Yep.
them up because they lost to Bama,
No, I
I'm
completely
sorry.
hear you.
I love Michigan. I love the storyline. If you guys get to go in Natty, I'll be with you watching that game just like I did when Men's Hoops took it against Louisville. I watched that. I was encouraged for that for you guys. I was excited for you guys. I think this is Georgia all day.
Okay. I am going to say I like the under. I don't see that many points, but I don't see it being that far under. I say 21-17. I say Michigan because I think Michigan, one, I'm a Michigan fan, so I'm a little biased here, but more I look at everything I just said, Michigan State needs to do against Pittsburgh fits Michigan to a T. You need to get into Georgia's backfield as often as possible because guess what? That's what Alabama did, and their offense got
Yeah.
shaken quick. That's something Michigan is just as good at doing, if not better than Alabama at. So you need to learn from that. On the other side, the thing Alabama did that I wasn't really too sure about, but look, it ended up working out for them. They scored quick and often, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's one way to do it. Michigan doesn't score quick and often very, very often. They like to methodically move the ball. So it's going to be low scoring. It's going to be close. I'm not expecting Michigan to stonewall Georgia. They were the number one team in the country for 10 weeks for a reason. But I am expecting them to be able to just play their game and make Georgia fit into their game. Don't let it ever get to be Georgia's favor. Just do what we usually do. Corum and Haskins run that ball. You know, Cade, make the smart decisions and let's just work this up. You get three touchdowns on Georgia. That should be enough with that, with our defense. That's how I feel about it. So I'm going to say 21-17 Michigan. I'll take the under, but 21-17.
So Bama kind of showed the way on that one. They
They
showed
did. They
the
gave the
recipe
blueprint.
on what to do. Yeah.
They're the only one
See,
that did it.
I can't be mad at
But
that.
they're the only one that did it all year. So why wouldn't you at least
Right.
try to take, you at least take what you do well from what you saw and incorporate it. Now there's going to be some changes there because of different personnel, but edge rushing, Michigan can do that. So it's going to be that kind of thing. Now, so Michigan, Alabama, that's the national championship. That's what they had on here. So obviously we don't have a line for that because it's not really a game. So I'm going to give you kind of a made up line here, Jay, with what I see for their final. So we'll say over under 45, over under 45. I tell you, I'll make it easier. Over under 44 and a half. And Alabama giving 12.
Remind me, what was the line? I think it was pretty close to 12 when Michigan played OSU.
Oh, I don't remember the line. It was
I know
very close to
we were
12.
like
It was very,
29 or
yeah.
something
It
stupid,
was
but
very close to 12. Yes.
I love that over under. I take the over because look, there isn't a next week. This is
Yes.
desperation game,
I
and I
agree.
think you see Harbaugh saving some crit. If Harbaugh gets to go to the national championship, his crazy ass man of who he is would have plays designed that no one has seen all year round that include JJ and Edwards and Cade. He would cut like it would be high scoring in my opinion. I think the line is respectable because I think that's where it was at against OSU. I think you would make people see if Bama could cover Michigan and deal with that defense. That defense gets respect by keeping that line close. So I wouldn't be mad at that. Also, putting my tinfoil hat on for a second, I wouldn't be surprised if Nick Saban is a smart enough human being that he showed Michigan the blueprint to take down Georgia to then tear Michigan down and bring them to the national championship. So I'd still pick Bama to win.
Yeah.
But as I did for Louisville and Men's Hoops, I'll be right next to you watching that shit because that's amazing to get to where they would go.
All right, so I gave you an over under of 44 and a half, and we said the spread's 12,
Yeah.
correct? Okay.
Yeah.
So to give you what the prediction was, the prediction is Alabama 33, Michigan 21. So right at 44
Yeah.
and right at 12. So you pretty much walked their prediction to a T. I personally look, I'm a Michigan fan. I will never not root for Michigan to win this game, but the broadcaster in me, the podcaster in me has to do this realistically. Alabama's been there. Saban knows what to do to win national championships. Harbaugh, and what we predicted, is playing with house money. Everything he does is just gravy right now. That's not to say that he won't come in prepared and they won't have a good game, because I do think the game will be a lot closer than 12 points personally, because what we just said, the only difference between Michigan and Alabama right now is Alabama likes to score fast.
Yeah.
Michigan will score fast if they can, but they would much rather eat some clock, make your defense sit for a while, or make your offense sit for a while, get you out of sync. Also gives our defense a chance to rest. So that being said, I think it's going to be a battle of whose defensive line can handle the other side's offensive line. And if Michigan can win that battle, they have a chance to win. They really do have a chance to win. That being said, I will say that I think the final ends up being somewhere in the ballpark of about 27-21 Alabama. I would love to see Michigan win this game. I'm going to root for Michigan all the way if they get there. 27-21, though, is the smart pick on this one. Alabama's just they have way too much experience in this realm for Michigan to, you know, unless they do like what you said, Harbaugh pulls off some wild and funky crap that no one can see coming.
Yeah,
It's a very tough one. So, yeah, 27-21, Alabama gets the national championship for the 10th time in the last 17 years.
But more importantly, though, are you watching this from home, or where are you making the trek to Indy? It's a 5-hour drive. My wife's sister lives there, so there's an easy way to get out there and just check it out and be in the city. And
well, we might have to look at some tickets.
How much would you be willing to spend to go check out that game? That's lifetime.
Your children's college fund. I'd be willing to spend that to get there.
529. Can I make a withdrawal for national championship at Lucas Oil Field? I'm pretty sure they'd turn that down.
No, I'm pretty sure that any large number, the ATMs deny you because you spent way too much time at those ATMs in college pulling out some cash. So real quick, though, before we move on, because we do want to – you and I, we're the golfers of the group, so we want to talk a little golf. Yes, golf in December. We want to talk about this. But before we do, I have to give it to you because we had the conversation. I wanted to give you the first reaction prediction. Just so you know, the very next one after the college football playoff was the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl, Pittsburgh, Michigan State. Their very early prediction, you're not going to like this. It's going to hurt.
Shocker.
Pittsburgh 45, Michigan State 38.
You could blow it out. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Pat Narduzzi, thank you. No. I get it. Okay, thank you, America. Our secondary sucks. Stop belittling us, okay? We're still a good football team.
Yeah. All right, Jay. So after what seems like almost a year now, it's been crazy. We've seen speculation. He's obviously, I don't know if you saw the press conference that he did.
I did.
He's talked about it. Tiger Woods is going to make his golf return. Not in any huge capacity. He's going to play in the PNC father-son event, which he won last year with his son, Charlie. Should be fun to see. Before we get to the actual real golf, what's the most you expect to see out of Tiger Woods in an event like this where he's really playing with his kid? Do we really expect to see Tiger try to flip it on, or it's going to be more just Tiger going out, having fun with his son, and, you know, we'll worry about the real golf when the real golf needs to be worried about?
I mean, he looked really fit. I don't know if it's because he's wearing a tight shirt, but Tiger looked in really good shape, number one. Number two, if he's holding a media press conference, he has to know that these questions are coming. He's an athlete, man. Like, I expect him to be competitive in that event. I don't expect him to be just chilling in the back of the field and not producing. Like, he wouldn't do that to himself. And the fact that he said that he's going to pick his moments to play, this is a moment he's picking. And out the gate, I would love to see Tiger run it and have him and his son just destroy it and win, because he's earned that right to do that, and he's in really good shape, and he has to be because his back is like all messed up. So if he's going to compete, I expect to see him on that leaderboard.
I completely agree. Look, he's reached that, you know, that point now where his son has an interest in this game, and I think he enjoys that. To an extent. So I think it's great. And I think because his son is at that age, I think obviously this accident didn't fall at a great time. No accident falls at a great time. But I think when this happened to him was kind of in a great, a right time for the fact that he now has the ability to, like you said, choose his spots and be there more with his son while his son pursues this game to whatever capacity he wants to pursue it. Whether that's just playing in high school and then doing what he wants to do, whether he is one of those kids who your dad was a legend at this, no one's going to expect a lot out of you, but you want to pursue it, give it a shot. We'd love to see it. We've seen it in the past where sons surpass their fathers. Now, obviously, this would be a very hard task to surpass your father in this situation, but it'd be great. So I like it for that. The one thing I want to say, though, and I hope they win it too. The only other guys I love rooting for is, and I don't know if you've seen them, is John Daly and his son, Lil John, because his son is a freaking bomber on the golf course.
Really?
This kid is already accepted a scholarship to Arkansas to play college golf. This kid is better than his dad, and he's only like 16.
Is
Very.
it bad that when you said Little John, I was thinking of Little John and the East Side Boys?
There you go. Yeah.
Different
No, I
Little
know.
John.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're saying. But it's always fun to watch. The only thing is, I watched the press conference as well. Tiger said he does not expect to be that guy anymore, does not expect to be the one who contends for majors anymore and all that. And my only response to that, and I say this with all kindness I can, bullshit.
I
I
know.
call bullshit for
I
two
know.
reasons. For two reasons. One, it is not unlike Tiger to help propel the narrative by he did the same thing with his back. I don't think I'll ever be the same guy I was. I don't think I'll ever be able to compete how I can. 6 months later, he wins the Masters. I think he's lowering expectations. So one, if he goes out and sucks, everybody goes, oh, well, he's got a messed up leg. It's going to take him a while. So he's lowering expectations for that reason. But two, if he goes out and wins Pebble Beach, even if it's not a major, if he goes out and wins Pebble Beach, or he's in the final pairing at the US Open on Sunday, it's going to look that much bigger than what it really is. But two, I call bullshit because he was the host of the event this past week. They have video of him spending more time on the driving range than the guys that played in the tournament. You're not dialing it back if you spent 5 days all day on a driving range. You're not dialing anything back. You're just hoping no one's going to notice you doing everything you can to get back. So, and also because, like, look, you and I are golfers. We love the sport, and we've both played sports, obviously not to any capacity like these guys, but we both know there is no taking your foot off the gas if you're a competitive individual. I was a horrible softball player when we played in that softball league. That doesn't mean I didn't try to hit a home run every single time. I don't take you can't take your foot off the gas. Justin's such a competitive player, he didn't even listen to me telling him to stop running as he rounded third to go for home. So,
Surprise attack.
yeah, surprise attack. But it's that thing. He's too competitive an individual to not go full tilt at anything he's going to do. And I just can't see him going to a PGA Tour event, putting a ball or putting a tee in the ground and teeing a ball up and then going, all right, let's just have a fun day. No, you're going for the course record every time you play. So I just don't agree with that. I is he likely going to contend for a major again? Maybe. He's still that talented, and there are certain courses that fit him. I think absolutely, I told my dad this the other day. Absolutely, I think he contends for at least one more Open Championship because you don't have to be the longest hitter over there. Everything rolls. He can hit two irons all day. So I think absolutely he will be in contention for another major. I don't know that he ever wins another major, but I think he's Tiger Woods. Until he absolutely shows me he can't do it, he's on the top 10 list for odds to win every major. It is what it is. I hate to break it to you, Jack Nicklaus is 80 years old. If he wants to play in a major, I'm still going to put some money on him to win a major because it's Jack Nicklaus.
Yep. See, that's the thing that, like, if anyone's writing the piece like Tiger Woods is washed up, this is dumb.
Yeah.
Like, no, you're dumb because you don't understand pure athletes. Pure athletes don't have the non-compete button. And you took the words right off my notes here. Like, and especially with golf, because golf, you don't have a GM. You don't have a coach. You don't have a teammate. You don't have a rookie that's pressuring you to take your job. It's you, man. It's you and your
You
caddy
are
and
all
your
those
team.
things, yeah.
Exactly. You get to write the rules. So the playbook is exactly what you said. Set the bar low, and if your body's telling you you're done, but your mind still wants to play, good. We'll understand that. But if you're competing for the Open or like, dude, give me the odds on him to win a major. Like, I'd sprinkle something on it because it's still, you are still Tiger Woods. You are the purest athlete in golf. Like, tell Tom Brady to stop playing at his age.
Exactly.
Tell LeBron to fix his bald spot and get off the lake. Like, athletes are always going to compete no matter what you tell them.
Well, it's that thing of like, and again, these guys aren't playing their sports anymore, but it's that same thing. If Gretzky puts the skates on, or if Jordan puts the sneakers on and he goes back on that court to play a season, one, they're not likely going to do it, but you know both of them. They want to lead the league in scoring, or they want to win a title, whatever it's going to take to do that. And there is no, oh, I'm just going out here to see if I can still have it. No, you aren't. You're going out there, and every time
Bullshit.
Wayne Gretzky touched the puck, he wants a hat trick. Every time Jordan touches the ball, he wants a basket. It's just, there's no way around it. I just, to say you're taking your foot off the gas just tells me you're full of it.
Also,
That's all I can gather.
maybe car metaphors should not be in rotation for Tiger.
All right. So you want this? I'll give you. I told you asked for him, so I'll give him to you. I have to wait for it to load, but I can give you the first one. Tiger Woods to win the Masters, plus 4,000.
Okay.
Right now, if the Masters started tomorrow, they're probably going to all be pretty similar. Tiger Woods to win the PGA Championship, plus 4,000.
Jesus.
Tiger Woods to win the U.S. Open. I got to find Tiger Woods, unfortunately. I probably rolled right past him, let's be honest. No, maybe Tiger Woods doesn't get. Oh no, there is plus 4,000. So it's probably gonna be plus 4,000 across the board.
I mean, it's a long shot when you pick the exact tournament,
Well, you're,
but
and the best, like I said, the Open Championship. This is his best odds. It's not that great, but it's his best odds. Plus 3,300.
ooh.
So Open Championship, his best odds to win it. Also would like to point out, if you're a betting individual, Jon Rahm has the best odds to win all of them. So in case you're curious. But yeah, I agree. You're not taking your foot off the gas here. It's just not happening. It's just
I'd
not.
sprinkle $10 on each one of those events and see if I come up a couple hundred.
I absolutely would. I probably will, in all honesty. After what Phil did last year, I'll put a little money on Phil and Tiger to win a major. All worst case, it's an entertaining Sunday if one of them's in it.
Exactly.
And a chance for a buyout. Speaking of not taking their foot off the gas, this Red Wings team, man, I can't. I'm all in, but it's like that thing of like it from day to day, I don't know how all in I want to be.
Yep.
13, 10 and 3 right now. They had a rough night last night against Nashville. But Jay, these young guys, I have to ask you first. I don't know his name. You and Russ know it a lot better than me. The guy for Anaheim last night.
Ooh, you're talking about Trevor Zegras.
Zegras. All I
I
want to
think it's
add,
Zegras, but whatever.
Zegras, but and Russ is in love with this guy.
Yes.
It was great play. If you didn't see it, look it up. A little over the net flick to a guy. I want to ask you two questions. One, was it a little too much high sticking? A little too much high sticking?
No.
Okay.
It was a little. Ask your second question. And I'll
My
go to the
second, well, my
follow-up.
second question is, we see it as a team we don't care about, but if last night against Nashville, if Lucas Raymond had tried to do that to Dylan Larkin, would you have been screaming, "What are you doing?" at the TV, or would you be screaming, "Oh, I like that"? Would you have
Oh,
been behind it if it's not your team?
I'd be behind it all day.
Okay.
But what I'm focused on in that play, because first of all, Buffalo has like 13 Rasmuses on their team, okay?
Yeah.
It didn't matter if your name was Rasmus or Okposo or it doesn't matter. Buffalo was just standing there. You got a guy in your crease, perfect lane to be a stick up, and there's no pressure on anywhere on the net. He was allowed so much time to settle the puck. Get the puck, corral the puck, and then a defenseman decides to put a stick in and then go, oh no, it's pass. They gave him all the time in the world, and he's a very talented individual. Russ has a man crush on him for a
Does
very good reason.
it's
But
a legit reason.
Buffalo didn't do shit. They
No, they
just
didn't.
stood there and let it happen. So yeah, if Raymond and whoever are trying to come, dude, I hope someone else tries to copycat that. That is excellent hockey. Evolve. It is good to evolve.
Not a lot of change since last week when we did the show. Raymond still leads the team, 22 points, 10 goals, and 12 assists. Followed very closely by Dylan Larkin, 10 goals, 11 assists for 21 points. Bertuzzi, 9-9 with 18, and Mo Sider rounds out the four, 3 goals, 15 assists, another overtime goal. Sider leading the team in assists. Jay, I was asked this question today, and I'm not going to lie, I answered quickly, But then as soon as I answered, I spent a lot of time really thinking about it. It's an easy question, you think. But then when you look at where this team is and what they're doing, it becomes a lot harder because it's almost like asking about golf. There's so much you have to work through to find out if that answer works. And it's an easy question, and I'm going to ask you it because I want to get to bet of the week. Right now, with what we're seeing, is this a playoff hockey team?
I'm so happy you asked that question. My answer,
Okay. Just to be fair, I said yes, by the way. My answer is yes.
my answer is no.
Okay.
We are competing for the wild card, and the teams that we are competing against are Boston, whose time is coming to an end to make runs, and Pittsburgh. Boston doesn't have Tuukka Rask yet, and they've got Swayman in Allmark or whatever his name is, and he used to play for Buffalo. They've got a great goalie tandem, and when they get Rask, once they sign him, because he's a free agent right now, they're just going to get better between the pipes. Pittsburgh has lost Jake Guentzel for a while. They just lost him again, by the way. Brian Rust for a while. Sidney Crosby for COVID and wrist surgery, and they haven't even let Malkin step on the ice yet. They don't have to turn the Jets on yet, and they're going to, and they're going to peak at a good time. I would love to see them make the playoffs. But when we're competing against Boston, who's only going to get healthier and better, and Pittsburgh, who's only going to get even more healthier and better, they already have the recipe to success to try to compete. We're trying to see what ours looks like. Again, I would love for them to be a playoff team. I think we missed the wild card by Pittsburgh and Boston, and they're trying to muster up a little bit of energy to win one final one before the band comes apart. So I want them to. I that's such a high mark for Yzerman. It's such a
It
nice
is.
reward, but
But see, I like it too. I think they're a playoff team because I think this team is going to hit a little lull. I think they are, but you're going to get Verana. Eventually, we're going to not have to go to Canada for a little while, so Bertuzzi can play more than three games at a time. And it's just more time for Larkin, Seider, Raymond, Zadina to, and I think Zadina is going to turn it on here eventually. He's kind of in that little flux right now, but I think he's going to find where he fits, and that's going to help everything.
Yeah.
And it's more reps for Raymond and Seider. It's more time of them learning what's working and what isn't working. I like Nedeljkovic. I really do like Nedeljkovic. I think, but I also think I think they squeak in, but I also like it for if they just fall short. Imagine what just falling short your rookie year is going to do to Raymond and Seider.
Oh, it's gonna gas them up
You're
big
gonna turn
time.
what we had with Yzerman and with McCarty and Fedorov and all them, that just falling short every time, it's gonna feed the beast to want that now. That's all they want. The stats are great, but now they're gonna realize, well, maybe if I take one less goal and I add an assist there, we get the win. And one less shot could be what gets us. It sounds weird to say, but one less shot by me could be another goal by another guy, which gets us the win, gets us the extra point that we need in October to be here. So I think it's going to feed the beast one way or the other. Either they're going to get their first taste of playoff hockey and that's going to start it up, or they're going to fall just short and it's going to be a summer of going, what did I have to do differently to make sure I'm playing right now instead of at Oakland Hills hitting a golf ball.
Yeah.
So I like it for that. I really do. I think I one I think I don't think that Pittsburgh ever fully gets it turned back on. There's just too much age on that team, in my opinion, to do it. So I don't think, but I agree with you. I think Boston is going to find a way to get the cylinders rolling. And I mean, he might be my favorite player that doesn't play for the Detroit Red Wings, but
Brad
Pasta is just,
Marchand. Brad Marchand.
fuck Brad Marchand. Pasta is
Hey.
just so much fun to watch. David Pastrnak is just so much fun to watch.
Dude,
That's how I feel.
he is the flair on that team. Bergeron's the glue, and Marchand's just the
He's the rodent.
dude, he doesn't get enough respect for his game. I've got mad respect for
Whatever
Marchand.
you say. All right, it's that time, man. Like I said, we're gonna make a little alteration to Bet of the Week. I want Sergeant Stalky's Bet of the Week, but then Jay, we are gonna do our first ever Armchair Sports Talk NFL Parlay. So I want you to be ready for this. You're gonna make the predictions for this week's NFL Parlay.
I love it. All right,
So here we
so
go.
last week, nothing lost.
Yep.
It was winners all around. The puck line. Colorado is exactly 50% winning percentage on their puck line, and we grabbed one. They're 11-11 on the puck line this year. We got them at 1.5 with the Avs, and then Russ, all right, Russ. Eric. Cade had one three-pointer in the first half, And then he just turned it on, and which was great. I turned that game on in the second half of that game, and I watched both of those threes go in. And I was just close the app. I made my money. I don't care anymore. So
Absolutely.
it was excellent. I'm 11 and 8. Russ is 9 and 10. Eric, you're 7 and 12. We're all getting to that 50-50
We're
plateau.
Reaching that 50-50 point. And I get a leg up on Russ this week because he doesn't bet.
You do. So we might be able to double down
okay.
on college football. And I wanted to take spreads where they're at now before we have a full month of 13, 14 practices for these teams to go play on New Year's. So just two games. And we'll see okay. if the line moves at all. And you might be able to get yourself a double win here, okay? And Russ doesn't get the ability to bet on these. So this is just for you and me. Just
well,
two
inside,
games.
Inside football, I like it. I'm good with you.
Real quickly. Now, the most interesting one for me is watching the line move on Pitt. Right now, they're still favored by a point and a half.
Okay.
I promise you, as we get the kickoff, it's going to cross over and State's going to be favored in this game. So grabbing Pittsburgh now, or really grabbing State plus 1.5, that's you can go either way. I'm obviously taking State, getting a point and a half there. But I'll let you go first. Where do you want to get Pittsburgh early before it moves again?
You know, I think at some point I think it is going to work over to State. I really do. So no, I think I'd ride with you on that one. I really do. I think I would take State. Yeah.
State's going to win by like 30. Like
they are. Yeah. All you're doing is giving yourself an extra point for Pittsburgh, which isn't going to make any difference. So yeah, I get what you're saying.
But you're compounding your W's, and that's what's important.
That's all that matters.
So we'll both take State getting a point and a half. The other one, we weren't even lined up when we were talking about it. But that's Georgia. I'm sorry. That was it was Georgia minus 8. Georgia giving out 8 points to Michigan. You've got Michigan winning this game.
Yeah, Michigan winning
so
outright.
You don't even care about the spread. So uh-huh. I think you're going to take Georgia giving out 9. So Michigan plus 9 there.
Yeah.
I already have money on this.
I do too, actually, so it's fine.
I think Georgia handles the 8s. You think Michigan wins the game, so we're on opposite ends there, so that's fine.
Yep. No, I completely agree. I expect both of these lines to wobble back and forth for a while. It's going to be all of who's playing, who isn't playing, is this guy ready to go, and all that. I think, that being said, what you guys have going – I expect to see happen to Michigan and Georgia. I think that point is going to compound and compound and compound to the point where I don't think it ever gets inside a field goal, but I think it gets darn close to just giving a field goal. These teams are pretty equally matched. It's too much to say that they're one team's going to give up a touchdown to the other, because that's the game right there, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So
that's the Hutchinson Ojabo effect on the money line, or on the spread right there.
I think it absolutely will compound down to, like I said, I don't think it ever gets inside 3, but it would never surprise me if it drops as close as 3.5 for a couple hours. So that's how I feel about that one.
All right, well, that's it. I want you to feed me this
like
parlay, because
right,
the dirty word in my vocabulary these days. Oh, feed me a parlay. Real quick. My favorite parlay that just missed. I took under passing yards for Mac Jones and for Josh Allen, and I missed it on a Josh Allen TD. It was like plus 1,300.
By the
you
way,
did
yeah.
a sneak one.
For those that missed this, I would like to point this out. Mac Jones played this entire game. He didn't miss anything. Mac Jones finished a game with a win, 2 of 3 for 19 yards passing. I texted these guys. That looked like my career stats at Farmington High School. It's just ridiculous. But they got the win. Somehow they got – it's the Bill Belichick effect. He finds ways to win where it doesn't make sense. All right, so here's what we're going to do. I'll read all the games to you. We need 10. You are taking a 10-team parlay. You are taking these teams straight up. No money
okay.
lines, no nothing.
I love that.
Straight up. So here are your games to choose from. We'll go through them once, then you can cycle back as you choose. Thursday, Steelers-Vikings, Lions-Broncos, Ravens-Browns, Jags-Titans, Raiders-Chiefs, Saints-Jets, Cowboys-Washington football team, Atlanta-Carolina, Seattle-Houston, Giants-Chargers, Niners-Bengals, Bills-Bucks, Bears-Pack, and the Monday night game, the Rams against the Cardinals. So you got to pick 10 teams to win here, buddy.
All right, let's do it together. Are we both going to pick a
you're
interested
gonna,
party parlay or separate?
No, we're gonna pick. This is the armchair one, so we'll go together. If one of us disagrees with the other, we can talk it through. I will say I want to go one. I think one is a safe, no questions asked. I think we have to take Arizona over the Rams.
I mean, Matt Stafford under pressure, he's getting some shit for being exactly who he is. I'll ride with you on that, but that made my stomach turn a little bit. I think
Okay.
Stafford, OBJ's got back-to-back touchdowns.
Yeah, 10-2 Arizona though,
All right,
man.
fine. Fine. We're
Hot,
taking Arizona. I'm
Murray
building
and Hopkins.
this over here, by the
Go
way, so
ahead,
we're gonna
Murray
do
and
it right.
Hopkins.
All right, so if you're gonna take one that we must, I'm gonna take one that we must.
Okay.
I don't care that the Chargers have, I care that the Chargers have some COVID issues going around. I don't wish that upon anyone, but I've bet against the New York Giants so many times this year, and I'm going to continue to do that. So please give me the
Chargers.
Chargers a part of this parlay.
Okay, I like that one. We'll start. I tell you what, let's
Go from
we'll
the
start.
top to the
Yeah,
bottom.
we'll just
Yeah.
start going from the top and working. Now we need 10. We need 8. We've got 2, so we need 8 more. Steelers Vikings. Do you want to touch that one? Do you feel comfortable one way or the other on that one? Skip it up.
I want to pass on that.
Okay, Lions Broncos.
Okay. That's Broncos. That's
It's
Bro yeah.
Broncos. Okay.
Sorry.
All right.
No win for you, Desperation Dan.
That's fine. Ravens Browns, little division rival there. Baker needs to do everything he can to hold his job, and the Ravens just need to find a way to get some wins.
That might kill the parlay, but we have to take a risk somewhere.
Okay.
I want to go with the. I want, and this is gonna be my fault if this doesn't happen. I want to go with the Ravens. He got pressured so many times. Lamar Jackson didn't even get a chance to breathe last week. I think that O-line learns their lesson against a pretty banged up team. So there's the plus. We're gonna get some juice on it by going Ravens there.
Okay.
If you
I
want to
agree. I
kill
agree with you.
that later, you have the right to kill it
I
later.
agree. I agree with that one. I think Cleveland's in a little bit of a tailspin, and I don't see them coming out of it. Next up is Jacksonville, Tennessee. Do you feel confident throwing the Titans over Jacksonville?
I'll take the running back tandem of, I think it's Dontrell Hilliard and Devontae Foreman. I don't know, something like that. I'll take the Titans there.
Big division rival here. Las Vegas against Kansas City.
That's a dirty game. Kansas City just put up 30 on Denver, I think.
Yep. And they're given 9.5 in this game.
Oh, I mean, when the spread goes over 7, all right, so take the money line of the Chiefs. That should be a lock.
Sure. That should be good right there. I agree.
We have
Saints. Oh,
six.
this is another one I don't really want to touch. Saints Jets.
Fuck me. What did Taysom Hill even like live and survive that game? I'm pretty sure he got hurt.
He's a little hurt. We can tell you what. Well, we have them as a backup in case we have to make a decision here. What are we at? 4. We're at 6. We need 4 more.
Yeah.
Next up is Cowboys Washington football team.
All right. Washington just lost. Oh, what's his name? He's my tight end. Logan Thomas.
Oh yeah.
And Ricky Seals-Jones didn't play last week because he's banged up. They've got no tight end. Tyler Heineke and McLaurin, that's about it.
I think Dak and them can get it done.
Let's go with the Cowboys, which I hate saying out of
Got
my
the
mouth.
Cowboys. All right.
All right, real quick, real update. We are at plus 1,111.
Atta boy. We need 3 more. Atlanta Falcons, Carolina Panthers. Do the dirty birds handle the Panthers?
Mike Davis doesn't scare me. He got his first
Doesn't.
touchdown on the year. I don't trust the running game. I mean, what's his name? Russell Gage. He's pretty legit, but they still don't have oh, I'm blanking. Who's hurt over there? Is it Ridley? I think Ridley's on
Calvin
a
Ridley, yep.
personal absence right now. Well, if he's excused, so are the Falcons. Let's go Panthers.
Go Panthers.
Our
All
odds
right.
just doubled
Oh yeah.
to
Next up.
2,000.
Next up. This should feel like a safe selection. The Seattle Seahawks over the Houston Texans. The 4-8 Seattle team. They are reeling right now.
They are. I mean, Russell's probably leaving. Put some good tape on there, boy. So let's go Seattle. I'm not taking the Texans. Tyrod Taylor, please. No.
Okay, that should mean we need 2 more.
One more.
1 more. All right, so then you can have your pick. I'll let you make the last pick here. You got 3 games to choose from. 49ers, Bengals, Bills, Bucks, or Bears, Pack. Should we just go safe and take the
Oh.
Pack over the Bears?
Justin Fields. Nagy came out and said that Fields is starting today. I love that Montgomery's back because I'm a fantasy team. But that Packers defense, I picked them up in our fantasy leagues. I'm riding them to a championship. They
Yep.
have an easy schedule, and they're actually a pretty good defense. So give me the Packers.
All right, we got our first one. We'll put the bet down on that, and then next week we'll update you on how we did, and we'll do it all over again.
Real quickly though, do we want to kill the Ravens in there or leave
I
them
just don't feel
alone?
another. I don't feel another game that I'm more comfortable with. The Bills and Bucks, I think, is just going to be way too close,
All right, all
and
right.
I don't like I don't really like either of the options of 49ers or Bengals, honestly. It's just a little too much to toy with for me.
All right, so we're at +3,116, and I'm placing the bet as we speak.
Boom. All right. Well, as you can see, that's the show. We got to go. We are a little short on time here, but my thanks as always to Sergeant Salty Justin Marcus for helping me get through this one. Little short staff today, buddy, but we did the best we could, and I think it turned out pretty good.
One game at a time. We did proper math, Russ, so we didn't
Proper.
disrespect your name today. 1 + 1 = 73. Have a great evening.
Atta boy. And as always, I'm your host, Eric Dorsch. That is one small step for us, one giant leap back in Detroit sports broadcast.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. May God have mercy on your soul.
Oh,